Now we come to this 62nd Psalm. I have a little book that's been out for many years on this, and I call it the only Psalm. It's not because that there are not other Psalms. There are 149 other Psalms besides this one. So it's not the only one in that sense, but it's the way the little word only is used. Now, notice the superscription here is to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Now, we've already had a Jeduthun psalm. He was one of the chief musicians. His name is mentioned several times, and we had him back in Psalm 39, and we're going to have him again. This is a psalm either to him, apparently one that he led the orchestra and the choir to sing. Now, it's a psalm that has this little word only, again and again and again. And this is a very simple psalm. It's a psalm of simple faith. It reveals a faith and confidence in God that's akin to that of a child's faith in a parent. And notice how the word only is used here. Actually, the first word here, truly, is really only. And it could be, my soul waiteth only upon God. And then verse 2, he only is my rock. And verse 4, they only consult. And then verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Verse 6, he only is my rock. And the word actually, verse 9, surely is only. Only man of low degree and vanity and so on. And you'll find that marvelous faith in this psalm, and very simply stated, and then you find that David makes comments as he goes through. He draws lessons from it. Now, a very wonderful thing has been said about this psalm, and I'd like to just read that because I think that we need to see this here. It is by Peroni. It says, scarcely anywhere do we find faith in God more nobly asserted, more victoriously triumphant, the vanity of man, of human strength and riches, more clearly confessed, courage in the midst of peril, more calm and more unshaken than in this psalm, which is as forcible in its conception and its language as it is remarkable for the vigorous and cheerful piety it breathes. That's the end of the quotation. What a beautiful thing this is. Now, since I have a little book on it, and I'm not sure but what that is available today. In fact, I'm almost sure this is available in book form. Let me lift out here, I think, some very wonderful things that you have in here. He says, truly are my soul only waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Now, there's several things that I want you to know. God is called his salvation. He's called his rock. He's called his defense. And he is called his expectation. And it's repeated again that he's the glory and the rock and the refuge. All of that you have in this. And you notice again, it's very personal. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Very possessive, very personal. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. I shall not be moved. This is a very wonderful psalm. And I want to give you another wonderful quotation relative to this psalm before we get away from it. And that is that of Donnie. And here is what he says. And listen to this because it's worth remembering. I begin the quotation. Twice in the psalm, he has repeated this in the second and sixth verse. He is my rock and my salvation, my defense, my refuge, and my glory. Now, if my refuge, what enemy can pursue me? If my defense, What temptation shall wound me? If my rock, what storm shall shake me? If my salvation, what melancholy shall deject me? If my glory, what calumny shall defame me? Let him that is pursued with any particular temptation invoke God, as God is his refuge and his sanctuary. Let him that is buffeted by the messengers of Satan, battered with his own concupiscence, receive God, as God is his defense. Let him that is shaken with perplexities lay hold upon God, as God is his rock and his anchor. Let him that has any diffident suspicion of the free and full mercy of God apprehend God, as God is his salvation, and him that walks in the ingloriousness and contempt of the world contemplate God as his glory. That's the end of the quotation. Now, isn't that a wonderful expression? Now, friends, let me make a suggestion. This psalm that so simply states this wonderful relationship with God. And you notice how David just pours out his heart to God in this one, just talks to him. You're my salvation. You're my rock. And there's so many folk that today are uptight in a prayer meeting. They're uptight in a church service. They feel a pressure in prayer. We want to say the right words and say the right things. All right, fine. Public prayer is all right. But let me suggest that you go aside. Maybe you just drive along in your car if you can't find a good quiet corner somewhere. Go to a room in your home. Go to a place where you can be quiet before God. And then why don't you just one time, and so many people today need to, shall I say, take the lid off. There is a time to gird up your loins, and there's a time, my friend, to take off the girdle and just let yourself go before God. You know, it'll do a lot of you saints good, because I've tried it. And just go to him, the first shaggy rug I've ever had. When I was pastor in Pasadena, a group, I think one of the latest groups, put it down in my study. And I never seen a shaggy rug before, and I liked it very much. And I used to get down on that rug, just on my face before God, just pour out my heart to him. My friend, it'll do you good. I think it would be the best tonic that you could possibly have. Oh, how wonderful it would be. I'm not going to spend any more time with this psalm because I have a little book on it, and I want you to have it.